Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Jenny Hubby.
I am here.
Well, we have a fantastic guest for our listeners today. I know that most weeks we try to feature a guest that is active in coaching, life coaching, executive coaching, etc. This week I'm especially excited to have Dr. Gardner with us. And Jenny, go ahead and tell us about our guest and what all she brings to the world of coaching.
Be happy to. So, hi, Bruce. Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday.
All right. Happy Monday to everybody out there. And about 2 weeks before Christmas. So just super, super excited to have Dr. Jane Gardner with us today. Dr. Gardner is PhD, LPC, and MCC. So LPC is Licensed Professional Counselor. MCC is Master Certified Coach. There are probably five of those, not very many, probably more than five, but not very many. So it is quite a designation with the International Coach Federation. And Dr. Gardner is the leader in spiritual psychology, and she is also the founder of the Divine Intelligence Institute and author of the Divine Intelligence, the book. And Divine Intelligence book is a spiritual and scientific process for awakening the God within. And through her proprietary Divine Intelligence process, she coaches individuals and groups to accelerate their spiritual advancement. And I know we'll hear more about what that means. And also, Dr. Gardner offers a spiritual life coach certification through the Divine Intelligence Institute that is accredited through ICF, which is International Coach Federation. So we have a lot to talk about today with Dr. Gardner. I want to welcome you on, and you might say a few words, maybe start us off in how you, a little bit about your journey in getting to a point of spiritual coaching.
Hi, Jenny, Bruce. Nice to be with you guys today, and nice to feel like I'm in LA for a little bit. I'm pretending just a minute your sunshine. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. My journey in spiritual coaching, it's been me, you know, an inner journey to get me there. I know as you guys both have been on spiritual journeys too. Well, first I want to say that I need to kind of designate spiritual between spiritual and religion, and spiritual is more of the inside journey. So it started out when I started an internship at a mental health hospital. And I got so frustrated because nobody was getting well. Everybody was leaving the hospital, but then they'd come back. So I thought I didn't want to stay in the profession because I felt like I was just diagnosing and telling people what was wrong, putting them on medication, and I wasn't seeing any real change. I got real discouraged. I heard about coaching, and coaching drew my interest because it said there's nothing wrong with you. Let's just help you. Let's partner with you to find out the answer within you for your life struggle or to meet your goal. Mm. So that's how I got into coaching, and I just love it. I'm so satisfied. I'm so happy at the end of the day when I know that I have made a difference in people's lives.
That's good. I know I'm an LPC as well, and shifting between the paradigms between a licensed professional counselor and a coach is a little bit more of a distance than one would think. You know, I mean, there are distinct differences between counseling, even counseling and coaching. You know? So
So both of them are needed, you know. Yeah, both of them are needed. And I'm just so privileged to be able to step into the coaching arena where we just take people that are real eager to meet their goal and have that energy to go and are just kind of waiting for someone to unlock, you know, that belief system that's holding them back.
Exactly. And so with your program, as it were, I mean, it also, as you know, it involves a very large spiritual component to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to learn more about that.
That.
How is that a part of what you do in mm-hmm. the coaching sphere?
Well, what we know, and you know, I coach spiritually, but I also support what I do with science. So what we know from science is that there's an invisible world out there, kind of the quantum world, the quantum physics, that really controls the world, what is created. So I coach someone's spirit from the spiritual world, from the quantum world, if you will, from the world of thoughts and feelings, because if we can change at a molecular level, then our behavior, ourselves, we get into alignment with what we're supposed to be. So I really coach the spirit, the part of you that knows and that is unlimited. But, you know, in this human journey, we also have this conditioned part of us that tries to take over and think that we don't have that unlimited spirit in it. So I try to help people uncover that spirit within them to guide them through their lives.
I noticed on your website you have there's the divine intelligence quotient assessment. Sounds a lot of that is kind of internal versus external attribution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's your thinking there on what you're trying to pick up with respondents when they take mm-hmm. that assessment?
Yes, well, divine intelligence is your unlimited potential, and we know now that we all have that potential, but how do you activate it? And so one way I determine how close you are to being into that intelligence that is yours is knowing, are you still reacting to outside conditions, or do you really have this internal guidance system that you can use as an internal authority to run your life, which is a powerful life?
Mm.
But, you know, if you're externally referenced, you're still thinking, well, it's raining outside, I'm going to have a bad day. Or someone says something that upsets you and you let it ruin your day. I'm trying to help people get to that internal locus of control, as we call it in psychology.
For sure. Yeah, the internal locus of control. So, again, if somebody feels like they're a victim or, like you said,
mm-hmm.
kind of like,
mm-hmm.
so if somebody initially takes this assessment and they are a little bit externally attributive,
mm-hmm.
so you use coaching techniques to kind of turn that around, right? To bring that inward and,
absolutely.
And empower the client, right?
Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful tools I've ever used is Bruce, to help someone see that they have a shell, a conditioned part of them that their parents, the world, their teachers, all the authority figures in their lives have created this belief system that they've kind of bought into without even realizing it, that says you're not capable of doing this, or you're not an artist, or you may not feel like you can do well in math or get the greatest job or have a lot of money. Most of us have all that belief system in there that is running us. And that is our external authority, is what someone else has told us we are.
Right. And then somehow we believe that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well. We kind of buy into we drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Drink that Kool-Aid. And so, okay, well, that's really good and empowering them and kind of, like you said, being their own internal I think you use an internal creator, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
I can tell you, Dr. Gardner, I had a client take that assessment, the spiritual intelligence quotient.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And she, it was such an eye opener for her. She really actually was proud that she was aware of her external surroundings. So she didn't really understand even the spirit of the assessment. And then when we went through it, she realized why she had so much anxiety, because she was so externally focused, thinking she had very little control over what happened. And that's just a huge awareness right there.
Well, and you know, Jenny, think about it. We have terrorists in this world. We have bombs can go off any minute. We have diseases that we can get. And if we live in that external world out there, we are always scared. We're always anxious. Our adrenal systems are running crazy. And we lose that power we have within us to control what we think and feel. So I think it's really needed that we have a process. And that's really what I offer in my work, is a process that you can go through to become your own inner authority and to lead the life you want to lead, not something that has been, you know, expected of you or someone else has influenced you to be. And we all kind of get caught in that curve, I think, of doing what others want us to do. I'm certainly a pleaser at times, and I have to still work on that to stay internally motivated to be who I'm supposed to be, not who, you know, my business partner wants me to be, or my family, or something, you know, externally from the universe. I have to figure out who I am.
So tell us more about the process. When you say you created a process, you know, that it's not a term that's used, you know, you hear program, you hear curriculum, all of that, but you don't hear process a lot. So tell us more about that.
Okay. Well, back when I was in my internship to be a psychologist, I just got so discouraged that I began to research, and I went back into time to study the spiritual leaders. I thought, you know, there has to be something they did to get where they were. You know, Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and there has to be something he knew to become his greatest self. Buddha, Muhammad, the Dalai Lama, all of those people I felt like had something that I didn't have. And at that point in my life, not only did I need it for my patients, I needed it for myself. My life wasn't exactly the way I wanted it either. So I searched and I studied, and I became aware of certain pieces that were in all of the processes that these great leaders used. I even started to look back at how Christ actually trained his disciples and found that he did use a process. And a lot of the pieces of my process are just taken from historical context of the greatest leaders. For instance, Christ believed that we have this human part, is how they put it in the Bible, but I just call it a conditioning, a shell that is not our power, and that we have to transform. We have to have some guide that tells us, how do we step out of that conditioning? You know, it all just sounds like words, Jenny, until someone really says, do this exercise, do this next step. And that's what I thought we needed, was like an universal process that anyone could go through, no matter if they were religious. It didn't matter whether they, you know, were a specific religion or if they were an atheist. I just wanted a process that at least would serve as a guidepost to help people find themselves.
So it's really an experience that a person has to go through. Like you said, you can use all kinds of words and platitudes, but until it's an experience, that's where the transformation maybe comes in.
Yeah, and you know, I know you know, and Bruce does too, that, you know, people usually come to us in the turmoil, you know, a crisis, or, it's usually a bad time in someone's life when someone seeks you out, or at the very least, they're looking to get beyond an obstacle that's holding them back. Mm-hmm. So it's usually through that pain and that, real challenge that we're facing that someone looks at themselves and says, you know, there's got to be a better way. I've done something. I'm in a pattern here that I want to get out of. Maybe it's, you know, you're going through a divorce and you think, you know, I always fall into being the passive one in a relationship. I can't speak up for myself. And so they seek us out to look for a different way of being. And that's what I thought people needed, is they need a process that anyone can go through to find the authentic self, to find out who they really are, so that they don't get caught up in the patterns that we all, you know, learn from our parents or from society in general, just, you know, those dysfunctional kind of stuff we get into.
Wow. So everything then, your book, your institute, and your coaching, I'm just taking, you know, I'm, it all relates to the process then of identifying that conditioning and then the experience of really identifying and connecting with that conditioning and connecting with the authentic self.
Yes, yes. Once I realized I had a pleaser in me that was ruining my life, even though I had good intentions, you know, it was like at one time I thought to myself, you know, Jane, you can please just about anybody, you know, and I thought, what is wrong with this picture? I can please anybody but myself, and I had lost myself, you know, and gotten into a marriage where I'd lost myself, just, you know, those horrible situations we get into that we think, well, how did I get here? Well, I was the biggest pleaser in the world, and I knew that, you know, some people are controllers, some people are perfectionists, but we all get into patterns that we think are going to work for us, and they don't. And so I knew I needed something that would help people out of those patterns when they really decided they wanted to change.
Yep. I'm curious, can you share some of the exercises that you've used, or like a one, or do an example of of maybe one of your more favorite exercises that you've used with clients?
Yeah, I'd love to try one on one of you guys. I don't know if you're willing to be a guinea pig or not, but hey, I'm just going to reach out there and say, do either one of you have a goal that you're kind of stuck on that you're trying to get to, but you're not real sure what's holding you back?
No, nothing.
No.
I love it.
I know. Okay, I got one. I'll give you one.
Okay.
So I'm sort of in the process, not sort of, I'm very deep in the process of a project with a colleague. And so it's a collaborative process or project, excuse me. And, so our goal is to take this to market, that it's part of our business. And it's something that would be of great value to people to help them emotionally prepare for events or upcoming, really probably upcoming events that we tend to have some anxiety about, like the holidays or a family wedding. And so, so where we are right now, we're still in the thick of it, developing this project. And so the goal is to market that, and that it would be, we could market it in a format or formats that are effective.
And
so
absolutely.
We're here in the middle of it, and we see our end goal, and we don't know exactly how to get there yet.
Well, first, I hope you get the product out, because I can already tell you I would be one of your buyers here, because, you know, there are things that, you know, you get into that it's something you can't wait for, making a speech or going, you know, to your child's wedding or making a toast or something that, you know, you want to do and you're so excited about, but, you know, you just have this bodily reaction of choking, you know?
Yeah, right. And this came up because we were talking about how we come every year, the holidays come, and every year mm-hmm. we're not prepared mm-hmm. emotionally for it. Although the food is beautiful, the food is delicious, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but we're exhausted because we forgot mm-hmm. to take care of ourselves emotionally. Yes. And so that.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. Okay, so try this, Jenny. Tell me a memory you have of a Christmas that didn't go very well for you. I know I'm asking you to be transparent here, but. Can you think of something that, you know, you could share with us that you remember about Christmas, maybe when you were a child, that just did not turn out very well?
Well, most of them didn't.
Well, okay. All right. That's kind of probably most kids would say that.
I know. You know, and I think that's what's difficult for me is that we didn't have much tradition around Christmas, so mm-hmm. we didn't know what to mm-hmm. expect. Except chaos. And so I can give you an example of fairly recently of having the family over here and having mm-hmm. a super busy job at the time and mm-hmm. You know, just wanting this certain picture of that Norman Rockwell thing.
Yeah, that we all want.
Time, yes, and by the time people came, I was tired, I had a headache, and then there was a bit of a mix-up and blow-up over mm-hmm. gift exchange. Mm-hmm. Some people wanted it, some didn't, and mm-hmm. people stormed out of the house, and I'm like, what happened?
Oh,
where did everybody
uh-huh,
go? I had just uh-huh. finished cleaning the mm-hmm. kitchen. So, okay, how do I prepare for this next time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
well,
so,
let's look at what... you know, limiting belief is holding you back here. It sounds like you feel like maybe even by experience that every time you get people that you love together, fill in the blank, what happens?
Chaos.
Yeah, yeah. You said that word earlier. So there must be somewhere in there, probably when you were a child, you said they didn't always turn out great. So probably you look at Christmas as having a more of a chaotic nature to it, and you kind of have this belief that says, no matter what I do, it's probably going to be a mess.
And it might be also the opposite of that of, okay, how can I make it pleasant? And really, I don't know that that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the limiting belief may be it's impossible to have a pleasant, you know, holiday with loved ones. Don't let me put words in your mouth. Do you think that might be going on with you?
Well, okay. See, that I think is the crux. And Bruce, you know, that we talk about... Is it a limiting belief or is it something I'm accepting that I can't change, you know, the serenity mm-hmm. prayer, accepting mm-hmm. that this is the way my family functions. So how can mm-hmm. I work with that? So that's a good
mm-hmm.
question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes what we do when that occurs is we transfer the holiday to other situations in our life. Like, for instance, working with a group of people on a project can also be scary because it may turn chaotic or it may be that in the long run it's impossible to get people that you really love and admire, all of them together, working toward completion of something where it turns out good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
True.
So if you have that kind of thing going on in the background or kind of in the unconscious mind, what we do, because Bruce asked for, you know, a tool, how can we get out of these binds that we, and it really is unconscious that we get there. We're not aware that we're doing that. We have great intentions, but something in our past wiring is holding us back. So when you're thinking about working on this group project, what's a new belief you want to just hold in your head while you're working on it the whole time?
good question.
I mean, could it, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this time you get to choose what is wired in your head. You see, in our process, mm-hmm. I wanted to give you an experience of it. So this time you get to choose what is your belief system. What do you want it to be?
Rather than saying, well, every time it's just chaos and blah, 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 to say, you know what, I'm thankful, number one, that I have living family and they love to get together and they talk.
That's right.
So this time I'm going to be thankful that my mom and dad can still get here. And we'll celebrate them being able to walk, because my mom just got out of the rehab hospital. So, you know, that's something to be really grateful for, that she can walk. And so I can focus on the fact that we're all together and I'm not doing the big meal this year so that I won't be so tired.
Well, and something else that I think I bet you and Bruce and I all have in common, because we're on the show and we help other people, we tend to take responsibility for making everything turn out right. And so, you know, you can be thankful that you have your parents and that they're there with you, and you can let go of having that responsibility on your shoulders of having to make everything turn out right. And that's where that internal locus of control comes in, because if it doesn't turn out right for them, it doesn't mean it has to turn out wrong for you. You've provided the love, the thankfulness, the whatever, the home, and that's all you can do. And you can feel really good about that the whole holiday.
And that's what I want to do, is just provide the place where we can be together.
Absolutely. So your new belief can be, you know, Jenny can provide a loving environment for her family.
Ah, love that.
You can do that. You know you can. You do it for people every day, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You know, so
that's a great example.
You know, I just sometimes it helps the listeners to actually hear us. You know, we are on this show and we're saying we know all this stuff, but it really helped. I appreciate you so much that you would divulge something in you that was still unresolved, because there's that stuff in me and I'll bet there is in Bruce. And it's like, you know, how do we resolve it? Well, we just talk through it and we try to uncover something that's limiting us, you know, that is holding us back. And it's always about what we're thinking or feeling. You know, we really haven't talked about feelings a lot. But feelings are really important, because they're in the brain, they're more powerful than our thoughts.
Yeah,
because how you feel about your parents, if you feel thankful and loving, that's going to offset any limiting belief you have. So all you have to do is spend the time with them loving and being thankful they're here. I know, I remember your mom had some illness or had broken a hip maybe or something. I can't remember what was going on with her. Yeah. But, you know, it's a great time to just love her.
That's right. And just be grateful that she's healing, because she's taking care of herself.
Absolutely.
That's powerful. And I think it's such a good example, Dr. Gardner, that's why coaching is so important, and therapy as well, is that we can't always solve our own problems. And that's why
I can't.
And support, right? Because we're in the middle of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of us really benefit from someone looking from outside us and saying, you know, what's going on here? Now, I can give another tool, though, that does help if you can't get to a coach, because sometimes it's impossible to be able to afford one or to get to one. And one tool that I've been using lately that has really been helping is, it's a journaling technique where you sit down and you write, but you write from the third person. So if I were writing about my life, I would say, you know, this, if I wrote in the morning, I would say, you know, today Jane is facing a talk radio show, and she wants to be her best, and she's worried about this, and she blah, blah, blah. So if you can try writing from third person, it may give you a view of yourself kind of as if, you know, there was someone coaching you. I have just found that works so well with people to get more of a view of themselves and to get a little less attached or reactive to themselves. We can just learn a little bit more about ourselves doing that.
It's also easy to self-disclose. You know what I mean? That would be a good verbal face-to-face thing too, you know, in a sense.
Absolutely. I hadn't thought of that. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, you know, and it actually came to me from quantum physics. I love trying to work spirituality and science, kind of mesh them together. And, you know, there's a scientific experiment, it's 100 years ago when quantum physics became so popular, they realized that the observer effect, that when a scientist observed molecules, that they reacted differently. And so what it really came to was our observation is what creates. Our perspective on something is what creates our view of it, and hence how we act, how we behave, what we bring to us. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, what we observe. So if you can get a little distance on it, you have more control over changing your perspective a little bit. And sometimes just a little change in the trajectory of your thought will bring you so much more expansion and willingness to open up a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Having that willingness, you know. I know. Youth.
That's it.
Failure to launch youth.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the millennials and their worldview is a little interesting, and it can lend them to being stuck and frustrated, but then not have the insight and awareness as to the, you know, right.
I know. Well, and you know what I have found in the last 2 or 3 years of my coach training is I'm drawing a lot of the millennials to me. A lot of my classes now are filled up with spiritual coaches, people that want to be spiritual coaches that are in their 20s and 30s. And I think what's happening is that the millennials in one way have a bigger, more expansive view than we do because they want to make a difference. And what brings them to spiritual coaching as a profession is that I think what we're getting to is that making a living and making a difference can be the same thing. And I really got to hand it to them that they're willing to disregard the trails we've set for them or the, you know, the examples we've set and kind of strike out on their own and say, you know, I'm kind of wanting to do something with my life that means something, that I can go to bed at night and say I made a difference in someone's life. So people that come to train with me, they're usually people that have always known that they're the ones to do this, but things get in the way, you know. And so I've just found it interesting that the millennials are really joining my coach training more than any other generation right now.
Wow, that's cool. So mm-hmm. What would you say then to, I mean, I've been through your coaching and I'm asking this, although I kind of know the answer. I've been through your coach training. And so if you would just kind of share with Bruce and with the audience, what do you say to coach students, coach training students that are asking, can I make a difference and make a living at the same time in this profession?
Yes. Oh, that's such a great question. Because I think it is a struggle for a lot of people to think that they can do that. And I think it's a limiting belief that we have to, you know, be making widgets or packaging up some thing that you can see before it has any value to anyone. So what we're opening up to as human race is that what is becoming more valuable to us is the feelings and experiences of happiness. Because after all, we make money because it would make us happy. Or we go out and work every day because we want to be happy. We want to provide a good living for our family. Well, you know, what if you could do that without slaving all day? You could do it in the comfort of your own home, talking to someone about, you know, how to make them a better person. It is saleable now. People want this. People really will pay you as a person to help them with that. One of our rising stars in this Dallas-Fort Worth area, Jenny, I think you know Lindsay Preston. She was voted by the Dallas Chamber as one of the top rising people money-wise in the whole Metroplex because she hit a particular group, the millennials, with how to help them just become who they want to be. And so people want this, and they are going to pay for it in the future. It is going to increasingly be a viable profession for us and for the people in that become spiritual coaches in the future. You will be wanted, and you will be paid for this.
Yeah, that's good to know. And I think that one of the coaching programs had a large class that just finished here North this past weekend. And I know that's the big fat question mark is, you know, now what? You know, they have the PC credential or whatever, and they're
yes.
You know, and now what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. How are they going to monetize this? And
right.
You know, they're really great sources of potential energy there, but they really need to take a few steps and go down that road. And you have to believe in what you're doing, and you have to believe that it has
merit. That's right.
And monetary worth. So
I think too we're monetizing our experiences now. I know that a lot of the millennial coaches that are doing well are coming from what it's not so much an education or a degree they're really able to help people from, but it's their experience as a human being of how they overcame their trials with their father, or how they began to support themselves, or how they raised their children. And it's not so much to do anymore with that as it is just, you know, not so much what you know as the things you've experienced make you an expert. If you notice, a lot of the self-help books out there these days, they don't have a PhD behind them. They have, a PhD in experience, so to speak. And they really speak to us because the people have been there. They've done it. And so we reach for experts sometimes more in the field of someone that's gone through this can help me rather than someone that knows the textbook about it.
Good point. Very strong point. And that's a great point about the millennial generation. I agree with you with that, Dr. Gardner, just having three millennials, three daughters. Mm-hmm. And it's true. They're not necessarily impressed by credentials. They're impressed by experience and character and impact.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that about them. And they will change the world for the better because of that. So,
yes,
I got to hand it to them. I think that's why spiritual coaching can be such a viable profession for them.
Good point. Very good point. And that's exciting. That's really exciting to hear that millennial, you know, the young emerging adults are interested in this profession. Mm-hmm. So you see this profession growing and growing.
Absolutely. And, you know, Bruce, I have a great instructor. I have a lot of different instructors at my coach training school so that people will get experience and kind of an education from other people, not just me. And I have this great marketing instructor, and she just comes from the truth and lives by example. And it just happens to be our Jenny sitting right here. So one of the ways I try to make my coaching school different is to actually help people market and help them go from I'm knowing the skills of being a coach to how do I create a business around this? Because they are perplexed at the beginning, you know, they don't really know how to monetize it. So we stick with them. We don't just say, here's your diploma and goodbye. We have a real well-rounded education on marketing, and Jenny does such a great job for us in that area. Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you. I love it.
I know you do, and that's why you're so good at it. Well, you know, that passion is what makes us so good. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, that's so important. I mean, Bruce knows, you know, it's who you know, and it's mm-hmm. the relationships that you have, that we have, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. really builds this business. And I know, Bruce, you can attest to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, make no mistake about it. I mean, I am my brand, you know what I mean? And it's not so much being a subject matter expert as it is somebody who can really ride shotgun with the client, sit right next to them, be there. And
mm-hmm.
I like grief counseling, right? You can't make that dead person come back to life, but you can be with the person as they go mm-hmm. through the process. And same thing with coaching, right? It's its own process and just
absolutely
being present, being mindful. But, you know, good coaches ask good questions of their clients. And so, I just love the, you know, at least the millennial that's motivated to get his ass out of bed goes to coaching.
mm-hmm.
Smoking weed and on the Xbox. And we'll see him when he's 32 and his parents kick him out. But seriously, so then this whole Generation Z behind them, you know, and the jury's kind mm-hmm. of still out because they're a little bit different than the millennials. And so we're,
mm-hmm.
but I have one of these kids that's a junior in high school, so he'll be deep in that, kind of waiting to see what he kind of hatches mm-hmm. out. That's when he gets to be a sophomore in college or that late age. But you're right. This is a growing field, and it is based on attractive, that attraction, you know what I mean? And that attraction,
absolutely.
It really is in the mindset of some of the millennials. Millennials want to not work for retirement. They'll want to work for 52 retirements.
Mm-hmm.
Many retirements.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The job support whales, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the paradigm is just a little bit different than from years past. So I think this is something that, and you know, Dr. Gardner, the way your program is structured and the way it's kind of the theoretical stance to it all is, very, very, very easy and very appealing, because, all of us have a spiritual void, and
mm-hmm.
this is a wonderful way to fill it with who you can be destined to become. So I think it's, just awesome.
I just think people wanted steps. You know, I did. I heard all the people talking about it, but I wanted someone to say, do this first, do this next, do this. And it's not the panacea for everyone. My process isn't. However, if you want to begin, or if you're caught in the middle and you want to get out of a pattern, it is something that gives you some steps that are based on scientific research. So they're not just some woo-woo, getting your head in your feelings kind of thing. It really is based on what we know by science, how the brain works, how we work in this universe, and what the real rules of the order of the universe are. So I felt like we all needed something that we could go to. And sometimes, you know, I think people can use religion that way. And I wish that everyone had something. And if you don't have a religion, perhaps having a basis for change, for how you can grow and just be a better person, could be, you know, the best religion you've ever had.
Good point. Good point. So how would you say then that your spiritual coach training is different than, say, traditional life coach training school?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people ask me that a lot. I think that most life coaching schools want to get you into action, and they want to work with your behavior and try to change and transform that behavior, where in spirituality, we go into a very deep level of change within. And so we're working with your thoughts and your feelings to change. You know, even nowadays, Jenny, you know, we even know by science that genes don't even control our biology anymore, that we can change. We can't change the codes of our genetic blueprint, but we can change our belief systems. And in the process, we can switch the blueprints used to express our genetic potential. So we can change our biology. And so we use what's called self-directed neuroplasticity. We know the brain can change. We know that we can rewire our belief system. And so that's how we're different. We offer a process on how to rewire what your belief is about the world and about yourself. We teach you to kind of love yourself. We say things like the only God you'll ever know is the one inside of you, and that we can't change other people, but we can change very deeply into ourselves, into changing the molecular structure of yourself so that you're in alignment with who you're meant to be. And so that's how spiritual coaching is different.
Thank you. That's helpful. I mean, it's kind of awkward because I know how, I know the difference having been through your training, and I can say, I can just attest to it that for our listeners that it works. This process, it's an experience, and it's a deeply personal experience and spiritual experience, and it works.
But yeah, it's like everybody wants to know how, and it really is, you know, coming from inner change and getting down to looking at what your belief system is and what you want it to be.
And so it's not that anyone has to have all this knowledge and understanding. It's really the coach, the coaches that you train take clients through the process. So they just have to be willing and feel that this could be the answer for them, have some intuition that this feels right for them, and they're willing.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. And I think the reason I wrote my book, Divine Intelligence, was really for the coaches I train, because it is a story of how I coach people. So I just kind of let you eavesdrop on a coaching conversation with an executive I was coaching that lost his job and felt down and out, like he, you know, had kind of lost his self-esteem too, and how I coached him to get just exactly the job he wanted. So I just wanted to, in the book, kind of write a story about what someone goes through when they are coached, so that people could kind of get a bird's eye view of what coaching is, because I don't think people really get it, even what coaching itself is, because it's such a new profession. So that's kind of what I was trying to do in writing the book, was, you know, give people an idea of what coaching is really, give them a taste of it.
But that's a great way for somebody to sort of dip their toe in the water.
Yeah. Just, and it's a small investment, you know, to make, to buy a book, whereas coaching may be a little scary. And I think maybe, you know, the reason some people are a little bit scared of coaching is we are so scared of knowing our potential. We've kind of, science is telling us every day we have unlimited potential, but people have a hard time believing it, because what does that mean? That means we're responsible for more, maybe more than we want to be for, you know? So, you know, I think people need help in a process to get to that ability to be responsible for stuff. I think everybody wants to be good in life, and sometimes we just get off course. And so I just wanted to provide to the world a way to get back on course to who you are.
Well, I think that is awesome, and we are out of time. So
we've got to have Dr. Gardner on again.
Have to do it again.
Well, I do want to offer your listeners, though, if they will log into my website and use the password of LA Talk Radio, they can buy my book for $5 off of it. So if you want to get the book and kind of get a glimpse or a taste of spiritual coaching, feel free to get on there the website is divineintelligenceinstitute.com. Thanks, Bruce, for reminding me.
Yeah.
And,
Well, good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dr. Gardner. And boy, just again, what a great place, you know, that you've landed on with your coaching and man, just very appealing and just very humanistic, and just I know it's going to continue to grow and obviously. So glad you've written the book. And folks, you can again log on to Dr. Gardner's website. Also on iTunes, you can listen to the show on our iTunes podcast, and her information will be on there, and it'll also be on the LA Talk Radio archives. And don't forget to visit our page, Concierge Coaches Show, on Facebook. And Jenny, what's your contact information?
You can reach me at jhubconsulting.com, and that's J-H-U-B consulting.com.
All right, and I'm at conciergecoach.net. So until next week, everybody have a great rest of this week, and we'll see you here on LA Talk Radio next week for the Concierge Coaches Show. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Gardner.
Yes, bye. Enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.